This is Jan Cox Talk number 3093, recorded January 9th, 2004.
I'm going to try some more of a bit that I was talking about last time. A most profitable way of looking and listening to other people talk, assuming that you can in some way start from the basis that life itself is alive. And what I mentioned last time is when you hear two people talking about any subject other than farming or mining, whatever they're talking about, of course you could include that, but it's irrelevant to our purposes. But when you hear two people talking, you are hearing life talking to itself. That may sound cute enough to write down on a Zen fortune cookie, but there's much more to it than a flippant phrase, perhaps. The reason that you do not normally get anything out of listening to other people talk, and I say you don't get anything out of it, if you're ordinary, what you get out of it is more ammunition, more things to sneer at. But what I mean is, listening to other people talk normally, just ordinary people, you would not think, I would suggest, or I would assume, you would not normally think of it as being enlightening. That is, ordinary people talking about ordinary shit. Politics, religion, sports, gossip. And there's a reason why. Consciousness is programmed, and everybody. Consciousness is programmed to follow the words. That is, to follow the subject. So ordinarily, either in person or you could be watching television and it's somebody interviewing a politician or two reporters doing their commentary and discussing what's going on. Consciousness ordinarily will follow the words of what's being said, assuming that you're interested enough. Let's say it's politics. Some conflict going on in some part of the world or some program that the president is trying to get through parliament. And if you're interested enough and you listen and you're not doing anything else, which would require that you do something unnatural, your consciousness will follow the words. And if you do that, if that's all you do, you can never gain anything from it. You will never benefit. You will miss hearing life talk to itself. People do not normally notice this, for a very good reason, because you have nothing to compare it to ordinarily. But people are not the way consciousness is programmed, that I just described, if that didn't make it clear enough, it's like this. It's the same as eyes would be that were deemed or that were doomed in a dark area to follow an ever-moving beam of light. If you looked at the box of consciousness, you looked at your brain as being a dark area, that it's all pitch black in there, and there's one beam of light, and that's where your consciousness is, which under ordinary conditions means whatever words you're thinking at that moment, and as you know, it never stops. You don't get on one subject and stay on it, so it's continually moving around. And nobody takes into account, as I said, for very good reason, but no one takes into account the blackness. Oh! They've thought about it. That's the whole notion of an unconscious mind, which is almost as good as the idea of God. They came up with the name of it, and people went, aha! And then forgot about it. It's your bulletproof protection of not having to think about it, just in case there was the slightest chance that you might hear about it or stumble on it yourself and go, well, that's curious, I'll think about it. No, no, no. No need to. No, you can if you want to, but this is what's called the unconscious mind. Now, if you want to go study psychiatry and you go, ah, never mind. But you listen to other people talk, and they're talking about politics or religion or whatever. And consciousness, this is just obvious as hell, but no one has ever seemed to notice. Well, Ordinary people have no reason to notice it. But your consciousness, when you listen to people talk, your consciousness, and this is a more refined version of me, my description of a dog chasing traffic all the time. The same thing, but I thought this might be a bit more specific. Well, I know it's a bit more specific, whether you catch it or not. But consciousness normally, if you two people are talking and it's on some subject that interests you, which it doesn't make a damn what it is, and it doesn't matter at all that you're interested in it. But let's say it's politics, and they're discussing some subject. Your consciousness, the same as watching a ping pong ball in a ping pong match, will go boom, 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 boom. And of course, taking into account that you constantly take a moment out, that your consciousness looks at its repertoire of its own self and it comments, even though you could be watching television, and that you can't get into conversation. But as you know, one reporter says blah, 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 blah about something, and you go, ah, shit. But then you jump right back in right quick to listen to the other guy's response. So your consciousness, even when you make some comment yourself, is based upon your consciousness following the words, which is to say, following the subject. It is quite valid to say that under ordinary conditions, that people do not see what's going on in life. And of course, this is meant, if anyone understands what they were saying, it means that no one sees what's going on in the intangible world, because all reasonably wired people see what's going on in the physical world. You won't let someone drop a tire iron on your foot but one time, because you see what's going on. Or you see it drop from somebody else's foot, and you see them scream. And then the person with the tire tool comes over and offers to drop it on yours. You go, no thanks. Everyone sees what's going on in the physical world, or you'd be dead. But to say that people do not see what's going on in the intangible, the mental world, is for a very good reason. Because you don't look at what's going on. You don't see what's going on because you look at what the words say are going on. You can't see what religion is because if someone's talking about it, or you could be reading about it, but that was someone talking about it and put it on paper. You understand? So if someone's talking about religion, you can't see what religion is because you'll keep looking at the words purporting to describe what it is, which of course is all there is to it. But we don't get into that, do we? Oh, no! Okay. There's so many things that you can get, again, operating on the basis that you understand or can take the position that life itself is alive. And here are ordinary people talking. What you can get out of it has nothing to do with what they're talking about. But you'll never realize it unless you can shake yourself out of some way that ordinary state of consciousness, the one with which everyone is born, because that consciousness, it will never change. It will always, because this is the way it is programmed. And if you look, as I said, if you look, you can't even see an alternative, because there's nothing to compare it to in your head. But it is programmed to follow the words. Or, if it helps, it is programmed to follow the apparent subject. So two people are talking about politics, and you're interested in politics. And I say, if you listen to what they're saying, you'll never learn anything. But now, if you were an ordinary person, you'd go, well, you know, why the hell do you say that? That's insane. If I say, if you actually listen to what they're talking about, you know, the words and the ideas they're talking about, if you listen to that, you'll never learn anything about politics. What can you call that other than insane, if you were ordinary? Because if you're interested in politics, and hear two guys talking politics, and perhaps they're both well-known reporters on the political scene, or they're politicals themselves. And so your mind would say, your ordinary consciousness would say, that my statement is truly deranged. It's just irrational. Because if I'm interested in politics, and here are two experts in politics, and I listen to them speak, listen to their discussion, how can I not learn something? How can you say that I'll never learn anything about politics? It just makes no sense. And it's a fact, though. You'll never see what's going on, period, if you listen to the words describing what's going on. And again, I remind you, we're not talking about the ordinary world because anybody can see what's going on there. You cannot see what's going on everywhere else. The so-called spiritual, intellectual, moral, social. But it's everything that's intangible. Everything that is singular to man. What's going on in the physical world, we share the physical world with all sorts of, well, with the rest of the life on this planet. But everything that is unique to us, you cannot understand it if you listen to people talk about it. And you listen to what they talk about. You listen to the subject. That is the internal version, the one with I was doing with light, is you can't understand what's going on with consciousness if you just listen to your mind talk about it. This may be a waste of time. No offense to anybody, I just know how hard it is to crack. But can you, if you can get a hold of it, it is worthwhile. Of what I just described, that right now, at any moment, you can do it on driving home tonight. I know you're trying to listen to me now, but later when you're in the car driving home, look up in your head, and by all appearances, there's one thought going on at a time. Am I not correct? There's what amounts to is a sentence. It is a sequential string of words. Some of the redundant ones, you may be able to do it, and what amounts to shorthand is just a few words, and you know where the thought's going, and you may not even complete it. But still, a thought in your head, to you, which is all that matters, makes some sense. But the point is, am I not correct? Look and see that there appears, the best you can do, there appears to only be one thought at a time. It's like the spotlight of consciousness falls in one spot, and it's like one actor, one dancer, one actor covers it, but it's like walks in a spotlight and he can make one statement. But just immediately, it can just be real quick, and he can immediately be followed by another statement and another one. They may or may not seem to have any relationship. You suddenly look outside yourself and you see something, and it changes the subject inside of you. Something else catches consciousness's attention, and it's reflected in you again, but the spotlight moves, and there's only one idea, one thought, one particle, one package of a conscious thought appears at one time. Now, what's going on in the rest of the brain? Because that one thought you have, whatever it was, you just saw a billboard that says, and there's nothing like a Chevrolet. And you had horrible trouble with two or three Chevrolets. And you're just driving down the highway and you see that, and your consciousness sees it, and your consciousness, you'll make some quite insightful comment like, shit. Or perhaps a bit more complicated. But you know what I'm saying. You respond. All right, is that the only thought you have in your head of saying shit? Is that, of course, the point is no. How many thoughts do we have possible in our head? Does anybody know? A million? Of course, you could say that in a sense it is infinite, in the same sense that, well, almost infinite. Well, it is infinite because our vocabulary keeps increasing. I was going to say, you can look in at the dictionary, and it says that it contains a million entries, and you think, well, the average sentence has four words. At any rate, the point, it would be impossible, almost, to say how many possible sentences could be put together in any particular language, since it's always increasing. So just because you knew every word in the English language or the French language, does that mean that you have thought all possible combinations? So the point is, in your brain, how many possible thoughts are there? How about a bit more specifically? How many thoughts? Let's assume that you've never thought every possible combination of all the words. But how many thoughts have you had in the past? And so therefore you have had any thought we identified, any sentence. And by thought, it'd have to be some rational sentence like, Chevrolets are not a good car. So somewhere in all of your trials with Chevrolets, you must have had that thought. How many thoughts have you thought in the past? What if we said a billion? Where are they at that moment, at any moment, that the one thought you're having now is Chevrolets are no good? Then where are the others? And I didn't mean that as a literal question, because who the hell knows? I'll give you the willies. Because you're ordinary, you go where they're filed away in memory. That's real nice. That's almost as good as God. Almost. I can't think what the answer to that your question is, but I know I've got it filed away somewhere. And that latch, you know, sweeping all around you trying to answer some question. But are those sentences actually filed somewhere on like little file cards? As I said, that wasn't the point tonight. I didn't. But if you enjoy that, that kind of thing's fun. Is where are they? But at any rate, not specifically the question, where are they, literally. It's this that I was trying to get back to. At any particular moment, at every given moment, is this not a fair representation that there is a spotlight that's lighting up one thought that you're having right now, and only one? You can't have two at the same time. If another one starts, then the one you're having is gone. You may have a thought that you could measure the sentence, and it's getting to the end of the sentence, and you realize this is triggering another thought, but it's gone. The other sentence takes over. You knew where it was going. As I said, there's a kind of, crudely put, a kind of shorthand that I can see operates in the brain, that some thoughts that you are so, that you continue to have, that you don't even have to finish them. You know what it is. But at any rate, is it not true that this is a fair picturization? It's as though there is a light, a spotlight, on a thought that you're having. I mean, ask yourself, you know, try it. And the point is, you only have one thought. Then you can switch over to another one, but you've got to drop the one you're having. So my picture of a spotlight is quite valid. The other part that people would not normally think of is outside that light. Go ahead and picture this, that it's pitch black. That the rest of the brain, the rest of your life of consciousness, that right this second you're thinking Chevrolets are a bad car. All right, there is a blackness in your consciousness, in your brain, right now and at all times, but there is a blackness in which every other thought you've ever thought or could think has got to be in that blackness. Am I not correct? I'm not trying to set up any sort of mystical, supernatural allegory of some kind, but just simply, I found this quite enlightening. That there is the same thing as a spotlight moving around, and it can only light up one thought at a time. But you know outside those thoughts, because you just had a different thought a second before. So it's somewhere, it just got the spotlight moved over. It was like the thought you're having now elbowed the other one, or in some way the spotlight follows it, just keeps the consciousness goes wherever the spotlight is, and so the thought you just had, and the one you had just before that, and all the ones you had earlier today, all the ones you've had throughout your life, although many of them repeat. Is it not fair? Well, it's helpful. Trust me, try it. To picture that there in the blackness, that inside your brain, it's pitch black except for a single spotlight that lights up one thought at a time. So there's this pitch blackness. And I say pitch blackness advisedly, because when you're having this one thought, you only have that one thought. So the rest of them are completely, they might as well be non-existent, because they cannot exist at this moment. So they are in an absolute pitch blackness. That's where the secret is. That's where what you want to know, let's say that people are talking about politics, and you hear them talking and you're listening. Are they the two world experts, supposedly, in psychology, in religion? And you're very interested in it, so you listen to them. But all you hear, the way consciousness is programmed, it will only follow where their spotlights are making your consciousness go. And if you truly want to understand, if they're discussing religion, it's the blackness. It is understanding that when you hear other people talk, you're hearing life talk to itself. But you're hearing life talk to itself in a way that is meaningless. It's getting nowhere. If you ever get somewhere, then you understand it. Or what I was saying last time, you understand that I say, and people like us, if you wake up, you catch on, then a fair description is, it is simply life thinking at a more intense level. Life thinking more consciously through your brain than it is these people you're talking, that you're listening to, including experts. Again, if it is some physical subject, then they can certainly know more than you do. If they're talking about mining or chemistry, anything that has a physical reality, they certainly can know more than you do. And you can learn what they know by listening. But that's about the physical world. That you can listen to someone tell you how to rebuild a carburetor. And you can listen and learn how to do it. But if you're listening to humans discuss any intangible subject, and you listen, your consciousness and what it will do, because you're supposed to. Also, if consciousness did not follow the words, then one man could not tell another one how to rebuild a carburetor, or how to increase the wheat crop. If consciousness did not work to where one man, now we're back to the physical world, where it could be something worthwhile. One man could not convey information to another without the listener's consciousness following the words very specifically. I mean, everybody knows that. They just don't think about it. You may tell, when you're asking somebody for help about something physically, something that has a material reality, and they start describing it, you may say, wait, let me write this down. Or, wait, will you back up and talk slower? Let me get this. Because you know to listen to their damn words. And they say, you put the flange that's star-shaped. You go, wait a minute. What do you mean by flange? You question, they answer, but you have to stay on the words. I would suggest that that is where everything in consciousness comes from, that it is set up to do one thing, and when it moves into the area of intangibles, you do not get the same result. So the point is, if you're listening to people talk about things, or someone trying to talk to you, someone trying to describe to you why God is a Jew, why you should be a socialist, why you should believe in the Freudian model of the human psyche rather than the Jungian. If you listen to it, consciousness is still programmed. It doesn't change just because the subject changed from farming or from carburetors to psychology. consciousness will still, it is programmed to follow the words. The idea that consciousness is like a moving light to which your eyes are tied to it, and that's all you can watch. I could make it stronger if that didn't help. It's as though that they are welded to it. As though your consciousness is literally chained to words, to the descriptions that you're hearing, assuming you're interested enough that it has your attention, that your spotlight of consciousness is on what you're hearing or reading from someone else. You literally, if you could do it, there might as well be a ball and chain or a chain from your consciousness to their words. Now, that's not an attack on ordinary people, and it's not to say that that is something out of the ordinary. All you got to do is look in your own mind. You have to catch it just after the fact because it stops, of course, as you know, when you catch something. Because you can only think of one thing at one time. You think, oh, I caught it. And now the thought is, I caught it, and it's gone. Of course, you're supposed to know how to do this. But if you listen to the person, it's not just listening to two people talk. I just thought, I always liked that example because there is life talking to itself, but at a piss poor level. Because life has men arguing about religion. A Muslim and a Buddhist, they're arguing religion. Life has been doing that for what now? Maybe not those same two religions, but it's been doing that for 6,000 years. Over and over and over. Two men discussing why some people are criminally bent. Why some men are murderers. How can somebody murder their own child, their own wife, their own mother? Life has been holding that conversation. Sophocles, or whoever it was writing dramas in Athens 2,500 years ago. There's Egyptian supposed history that's much older than that, 5,000 years old, of those stories. So life keeps pondering that, which is not to me. I'm not criticizing life. Hope you wrote that down. But there it is. There's no other way to look at it once you know what's going on. I know better than that. Hearing men discuss all the possibilities of how someone can murder their mother. Something that sounds horrible. Men have been discussing that. Ordinary men have been discussing it. Philosophers, now psychiatrists, psychologists, sociologists, politicians. Of course, religious people have been discussing it. I know. So I know that life can think better than that. But when you listen to them talk, even world experts, and you know what's going on, it's something that you understand that this is nothing. This is life. At least at the conscious level, the thinking level, this is life at its most mundane. That's a nice way of putting it. It is just life. Of course, what it amounts to, you look at it once you see what's going on, and I say it's quite mundane, pedestrian, routine, or piss poor, to be technical. But it's no great discovery. I mean, it's nothing you've never heard before, is it? No. I've been hearing it in my head all my life because I've been doing the same thing until I realized what was going on. But the point is now you can realize that outside of you, amongst ordinary life, experts, man collectively, considers that these great important subjects that need to be aired out, that need to be debated, that we need to discuss them until we can close in on the truth of it. And no such thing is going on. So listening to them is meaningless. If you listen to the subject, if your consciousness does, if you let it do what it's programmed to do, and that is to follow the words or follow the subject. But it amounts to the words. You surely know what I mean. It's the dog chasing the cars. Just a car goes by and the dog chases it. But one at a time, he'll chase one, he'll get a few feet away, get away from him, and he'll turn around, and the next one coming by, he'll chase it. I assume everyone's been around a dyed-in-the-wool car-chasing dog. Because they'll stand there and do it until they drop. They'll just chase one until it pulls away, or, you know, turns the corner. And then they turn their head, and here's the next one, and they do it. That's why I love, for years, you never caught on, I use that picture. But if you want to look at it as in the head, as this one, is consciousness, is it can only focus on one thought at a time. And if it starts listening to someone speak, two men discussing it, some subject in which you're interested, or you even ask someone, what do you think about? And you ask them the subject, religion, politics. What do you say is, what causes men to, makes a man able to kill his own mother or father? And you're asking a psychiatrist. And you listen to what he says, you ask him, if you're ordinary, so you're interested, you want to hear what he says, but now you are tied to his words, and he doesn't know. But you are tied. In a sense, you have handed him your consciousness. And I say him, you understand, he's of no consequence. It's the fact that your consciousness is programmed. If it's interested in something, that's the way it works. It follows it. It chases the words like, well, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to learn. That's okay if it's about air conditioning or plumbing. But anything else, you're done for. Nothing is happening. You should be listening to the dark. Or if you're listening to people talk about politics, and you seem to have a natural interest in politics, but your real interest is in catching on to what's going on, to waking up to what's going on in life. Like when you listen to someone talk about politics, don't listen to their words. Listen to what I described to you tonight. Of course, I could say watch it, but do it while you're listening. Is realize that your consciousness jumps from one word to the other. You listen to one guy make his comment, and then you listen to the other guy's counter to it. And then back to the first guy. And then right quick, you take a quick time out to go, ah, fuck that. And then back into it. And it's just, you're tied to it. That's being asleep. That's being blind to what's going on in life. Well, that's why it's valid to say that under ordinary conditions, people do not see what's going on in life, intangibly. Because they don't. They see words, descriptions of what's going on. But in an intangible world, the words are describing things that do exist only in words. And so there's a certain, shall we say, difficulty there. A sticking point. The words are describing something that exists only in words, and you're listening to the words very intently, and this will lead where? This will reveal what? As always, I am extremely glad I could clear that up in only 30 minutes. Only took evolution, what they figure, 200 million years to get us here, and it took me 30 minutes.
That concludes this talk. Be sure to visit us at jancox.com, where you can search through 3,000 talks or just leave us a message.